for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember.
Undefeated, declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and John Snyson from The Economic Truth. And we need to know the truth because we need the truth, and there's no truth out there. But he's from Canada, and he in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and he got an election. He's free now. Yeah, he's free. They decided they wanted to vote themselves free. Are you free now? Are you free?
No.
You're not free? I thought you guys were free. You know? All right. So you're not free, but you're kind of semi. What are you guys? And tell us what happened. You had an election, and then what?
Well, we had an election, and basically it's the same state. Like, nothing really changed. No other, like, the Liberals have almost the exact same amount of seats that they had before. Conservatives the same. And then the Communist, no, sorry, NDP party. And then, but one thing, the Green Party got two seats and got 2.1% of the vote. But we had a People's Party of Canada, kind of a libertarian-leaning party, that got 5.2% and no representatives in. So, but it just shows you that a lot of people are fed up almost.
Hey, wait. Say that again. 5.2% and no representatives. What was the threshold
to get representatives? No, the popular vote, right? Like, it's the same kind of similar thing where you get elected, you know, in a riding, and then you just get a whole bunch of votes, but you don't get enough to get elected. And
well, what is enough to get a representation in parliament?
No, you need to win your riding, which is basically, you know, a bigger part of a province. For example, where I live, in the Interlake Selkirk riding, and there's like 3 or 4 or 5 parties trying to get the vote there, and whoever wins is a representative for my riding at the parliament in Ottawa.
Okay,
that's how it works.
So they got popular vote 5.7%, but they got beaten everything.
Yeah, they got 5.2% popular vote, and but they
which no means money. Nothing.
And the Green Party had 2.1%. Yeah.
So where was the strongholds for each of the parties?
Oh, exactly. No, it means zero. So the strongholds for the Conservatives is more rural and Western. And then the Liberals, of course, are Ontario and Quebec and on the east side of Canada. And then you have the NDP is like all over the place. And then you have the Bloc de Québécois. Which is the you know, the Frenchie. Separatists, pesky separatists over in Quebec there, the Frenchies. They have their own party in Quebec as well. So that's like kind of the 4 parties that are in charge. And then you have the People's Party that tried to get votes, but they couldn't get enough to get in anywhere.
Okay.
So it
started off with Trudeau doing this. You know what? I don't have enough power. I need more power and slap these guys around. I've been looking at the polls on Facebook, and I think that if I have an election, I'll win more, and then I'll rule, you know, more. So he has an election. What happened?
No. Basically, that's what happened. It's he's just back at status quo. He has a minority government still. Problem is, though, you got the NDP and the Bloc Québécois. They're both socialist parties, so it's pretty easy for them to pass any legislations, no matter what. So it doesn't really stop them at all. So there's a majority of socialists. And I would say basically everybody's socialist, except for maybe a little bit of the People's Party. There's some representatives there that are a little bit libertarian. But most of them, I would say like most of the government is socialist, no matter what. Doesn't matter if they're progressive conservatives or if they're liberals, in my point of view anyways. We got, you know, the hardest lockdowns was in the conservative conservative-controlled provinces, because every province controls their own legislation kind of thing on how they, you know, controlled COVID kind of thing, because they have their own health. Like, health is done provincially here.
What do you mean health is done provincial? What's provincial? A province, you know?
It's a state. Yeah, it's similar, exactly as a state.
Okay, how many states are provinces are there in Canada?
Oh, geez, you put me on the spot here now. I think it's like, let's see now. 4, 5, 6. I think it's like 12 or something.
Okay, so it's not 50. I mean, you know,
two territory. No, there's, yeah, there's, it's not as much as the United States, that's for sure.
Okay, so you got a dozen or so, and then they, each one of them are, when it comes down to it, pretty much the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's. Well, for province, yeah, for like everything when it comes to governance, I would say maybe Alberta is borderline, you know, a little bit conservative. I'm not talking libertarian. But other than that, like, it was funny. They removed all the restrictions in Alberta and then they put them back on with vaccine passports again. So that's
okay. Wait. Yeah. So Canada's going vaccine passport.
We have them all over the place here now. Almost every province has vaccine passports. We have had them in Manitoba here for a month and a half now. So I'm basically segregated out of society.
You didn't get your vaccine passport?
No, I did not.
which means what? You go in and they put a stamp on a piece of paper and now you got papers, please?
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%. They got a card. So they got a card and then they have a app that they have to confirm you with, a card or an app, and then they have to look at your ID as well. So it's definitely 100% papers, please. There's no privacy there at all.
Okay, all right. Describe, you know, I want to get into the economics, but I need to understand this. This is freaking, you know, Twilight Zone crap, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So you go to... When are you having to use this app or passport?
So bars, restaurants, you need it for all sporting events, all festivals, music festivals, all big events. You need it for gyms and anything with group activities. You need it for, let's see, you know, that I catch everything there. I think that's pretty much it. Of course, museums. You need actually a vaccine passport to get into the Human Rights Museum in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. So you go in and how does it work? You just, everybody just lines up, and if they don't have it, they kick in the teeth and arrest you.
I don't know. I think you're just getting showed away. But anyways, like it's, I haven't even tried because I don't care. And I don't use a lot of those stupid services anyways, but basically like my father-in-law was telling me he works at a community center and he's forced to do it, which he gladly does apparently. Ask everybody for their vaccine passport when they come to play hockey or just go for, you know, a group activity at the local government community center. So
okay, well, what's it required of? It's you know, at any government, we got government-funded, subsidized government, or is it at the movie theaters, at private restaurants?
Oh, yeah, movie theaters and restaurants as well. Yeah, sorry. Movie theaters, I forgot there. But, oh, yeah, any restaurant, like, they're forced to do it. And we have a restaurant called Monstrosity Burger here that is resisting. And it's not check-in vaccine passports. They're fined $60,000 right now. For not adhering to government restrictions, but they're one of the few that are actually saying like enough is enough. You know, it's funny, they just did a poll here saying that do you agree with putting restrictions on the unvaccinated, and 87% disagreed. You know, like we shouldn't have. But then they more than love to go and show their vaccine passport everywhere. So it's like that is a big disconnect with their logic and with their, you know, like how much they actually are committed to like caring about anybody else.
Well, right, what now is the percentages or the rates of infections and people, they're stacking them up like cordwood outside hospital doors or what? I mean, what's going on?
No, not right now. Like we're still like in the early stages of our spike because like I'm following Israel, right? And when you look at Israel, it starts from 4.5 to 6 months. That's when they really like starts to build up. And we don't have that yet. Like we're getting close.
What do you mean 4.5 to 6 months after the wave of vaccinations or what?
Yeah. So when the stupid vaccine is waning, and then you basically are now getting people sick again with vaccine. I know like several people that I talked to just locally here. They had some family members that had gotten vaccinated. One or two of them ended up in the ICU with COVID, like fully vaccinated, right? And then you had, but if you look at the numbers that the government is giving out right now, it's basically anywhere from 25 to 40% that is vaccinated that are getting the virus. Nobody's talking about that. They're only focusing on those pesky unvaccinated people that are supposedly getting COVID. And the problem is, too, you get tested when you come into the hospital for anything, right? So, like, we all know that that's been happening in the U.S. where a lot of people has been, you know, counted as COVID deaths or and so on, right? So, yeah, we don't need to talk about that. I'm pretty sure you talked about that 100 times before, so.
I don't talk about this that much. I don't care. You know, yeah, I mean, it's on Freeman's Phoenix, but the only reason, you know, I find it of interest talking to you is because you're in Canada. You just had an election. You know, it was.
Yeah. Oh, we're at the gulag.
I'm sorry?
This is the gulag. I'm not even kidding. It's
you know,
pretty,
I'm just wondering when the resistance comes. We went, you know, this is what happened. A week ago, this last weekend, what is it? Yeah, it was Saturday. We went to Spokane for a big rally where there was like 6,000 people there. And it was a friends of friends here that he is a state legislator. His name is Matt Shea. And he was a legislator and, of course, a Christian conservative, which, you know, they freaking hate that. So they're just on his case. And so he quits the legislature. And as a pastor, started his own church, you know, started as an assistant pastor. All of a sudden it explodes. And the pastor's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't want that many, you know. And so he starts his own church, got a few thousand of here we go. And they go to the clock tower, which is, you know, kind of a, you know, a municipal feature downtown in Spokane. And there's thousands of people there. Well, of course, we brought the love bus and making signs and, you know, got to speak and, you know, doing our spiel, but it was, there's enough resistance. And then of course, you know, the police were there in force, but they were supported and they're all great and wonderful. And yeah, you know, peace be upon everybody. And there was one guy that wore a mask. And this one guy was, you know, always at these protests, taking pictures and hassling them and being part of the opposition or something. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And he had a rough time of it because a week or two ago when there was a previous protest, he was in some woman's face and he took his camera with a long lens on it and hit her upside the head with it and big goose egg and all this. And of course, they didn't arrest him. They said, well, you're both at fault or something, right? So they were just, man, in his face. You know, they weren't doing anything, but he couldn't do any picture taking or whatever. And he was a pariah. And of course, he's like, you know, hippy dippy 25 of I have a mask and, you know, whatever. So this is, it was interesting to watch that in this ocean of compliance and, you know, where's your papers, please, that they had thousands of people saying, hell no, you know, they're doing hell no. So I can see, and I don't know, it's what we're seeing across the country in certainly rural areas. Now, they try and see that Spokane is kind of a liberal bastion of something, but it's not the people, it's the governments. So I'm looking, you know, when you're in, you know, Winnipeg And I'm going, is it the government or is it the people, or are they combined or are they separate? What?
No, the government, the reason why it's so heavily handed, especially here, is because we got 50% of our population are employed by either federal, provincial, local government. That's the big problem here, that we have the mass obedience. The actual vaccination rate is 80.6% with Damn. Two jabs, 87 with one jab. So there's a 13% resistance still. You know, with people, and most of them are actually very interesting at a rural place right on the border to the U.S. And it's highly, highly populated with especially Mennonites down there that are resisting as well. We all know they come from Germany, so they probably have some, you know, resistance to, you know, being forced, forcibly inoculated.
Papers,
with
yeah.
Yeah, and papers as well. And then, of course, there is, like, where I am, my county, you could call it, like, it would be the equivalent to a county, is 86% vaccinated here, as well in my county. But back to the resistance. So, actually, I've been working on building up and networking, because there's so many scattered groups that are fighting this. So, we're trying to, like, bridge the groups and have them communicate with each other. And there's actually big rallies now that started about a month ago at our legislative building. And they walk from the Human Rights Museum downtown, and then there's a march going up to the legislative building. And then they meet there and have speeches. They have booths and everything set up there. And there's a couple of thousand people every now and then there. So you start to see, you know, people are not giving up, which is great. And then I created a alliance, I call it, which is called the Manitoba Freedom Club or Freedom Alliance, where people can list, you know, if they're pro, you know, choice and so on. And if they want, you know, like check your vaccine passport to let you into their businesses, they could actually put their information there. And also, the people that are hiring and vaccinated people, because here on the 7th, all government workers here, 7th of October, or is it 3rd? I forgot. They're basically going to get booted out. It's like same as New York City, what happened there. So that is coming up. And I got contacted by a lady that works with a ton of teachers that are getting fired. And there's also a whole bunch of health personnel getting fired. You know, like, oh, we got a lack of nurses and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so terrible, our healthcare system. And I mean, yeah, we're just going to fire the, you know, the people that don't want to get this jab to make it even worse. Totally like a perfect and great government policy, you know, to do that as well. And then, you know, like I just had a it didn't surprise me at all, of course, but I had a article from the Ottawa Citizen that came out on the 27th, so yesterday, and it says military leaders saw pandemic as a unique opportunity to test propaganda techniques on Canadians, Canadian Forces report says.
So, okay, say so that again.
Yeah, so military leaders saw pandemic as a unique opportunity to test propaganda techniques on Canadians, forces report says. So basically, in their own reports, they're talking about how they were using propaganda techniques. So it's becoming pretty clear that we live in a semi-communist society now. And there's doctors. We got a guy called Brian Brittle here, which is one of the big resistors. He's actually a pro-vax guy, developing vaccines. But he's come out and said that this vaccine is very dangerous and it's killing a lot of people. And he's getting intimidated. They're trying to get him out of the... He's not allowed to attend his own lectures as a professor at the university that is at in Alberta and all this stuff. He's the one doing a bunch of research. And he was actually one of the people that were, you know, helping to do the COVID vaccine research as well, one of the Canadian ones anyways. And he came out and said, like, we did a massive mistake. The spike protein is toxic. It's spreading everywhere in the body. And after that, they created a website to discount him, and they came after him in media and everywhere, saying that it was a quack. So Yeah, fun times here in Canada when it comes to the COVID stuff, and our government is just getting worse and worse and worse, and it's not getting any better anytime soon, that's for sure.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we had a understanding of what's going on in Canada with this, but Tim Pachote's joining us. I wanted to talk with John first about what was going on in Canada and the COVID thing and all that kind of crap, you know, and then now we can get into the economics, but I'm not done yet, Tim. So hold on a minute. Can you hear us, Tim?
Yep.
Okay. We're good.
Are you ever done? No, just kidding.
Never. But I wanted to know the future of this because, you had an election, you know, you're kind of back to status quo. The people are, you know, reluctantly complying, but not so reluctantly. They're not 80 something percent, you know, jabbed, at least with one. They're going to be wanting boosters. We're going into flu season. People are going to be screaming and yelling and, you know, and we're overrun with whatever the hell. And what's it going to be like in the spring? This is, you know, they're just waiting for the new normal. It's always new normal.
Oh, you hear that on the radio and TV all the time. Our new normal. It's the new normal, guys. It's the new normal. Like it's getting repeated. It's brainwashed, pure brainwashing on mainstream media.
Oh, are they going to accept it as the new normal? This is it.
Well, actually, no. So let me tell you, I go and talk to a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of double jab people that are furious that they're hearing that you need a third jab because they were told that, oh, this will be it. You know, we'll be out of the pandemic. Everything's going to be fine. You know, like the government would never lie to you, would it, right, Ernie or Tim? You know, it always tells the truth, right? So there's a lot of those double jabs that are getting really angry because some of them are actually paying attention to other than Canadian news. And a lot of the people actually, they took it because they didn't want to get inconvenienced, you know, coaching their kids at hockey. They didn't want to, you know, they wanted to travel and all this stuff. So it was pure coercion on the government side, right, to enable to force people to basically take the vaccine through coercion. I think, but what I see happening, though, and there's a lot more interest about it now. I met with a whole bunch of people lately that are ready to, just not, you know, adhering to any of these restrictions. Like they're back with mandatory masking here again. Here in Manitoba, it's like, but the problem is, again, as I said, you know, you've got people are against it. They say in public forums, you know, on polls or whatever they do, but then they still go out to the vaccine passport restaurants and do things. So that doesn't help anybody. You know, it actually is extremely counteractive. And people that are doing that say like, oh, we're totally with you, is also becoming a problem because what they're doing is that they're actually, you know, helping the system getting implemented. And, you know, you really like starting to see people getting more and more lulled into the propaganda.
Well, is there damage? Do they have stories? Because it used to be you go around, you know, oh, in Ukraine this happened, or in Poland this happened, and you put now it's like freaking everywhere, and I don't even put it up anymore. Some 17-year-old kid went and got the vaccine, you know, without his parents' knowledge because he knew that they'd give him crap because he wanted to go to a concert and, you know, within a day and he's dead, you know?
Yeah.
And no. So I'm wondering if that, you know, makes it into the media or people are starting to get concerned.
No, not at all. They're trying to, but it's not happening. Media is not covering anything that's harmful to the vaccination campaign that they're having. Doctors are getting intimidated several places. Unfortunately, my sister-in-law's are nurses here, and they're totally for it. Like one of them volunteered to inoculate people here. But when you go and look at reality and you look at everywhere else but mainstream media and non-controlled mainstream media platforms, like I'm just following, for example, on Telegram, there's a group called the mRNA Death Poll. every day there's 100 to 200 people that are, you know, showing all their side effects and so on. And even here, you know, in Manitoba, there's a lot of stories when you go and talk to people that they had some loved ones that have died, or they had miscarriages, they had Bell's palsy, all this stuff. And actually, so there was a person that got Bell's palsy that is a friend of my boss's wife. And she went to the hospital, got told that, oh, no, no, this has zero to do with your vaccine.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. Like, it's basically a massive propaganda machine that is counteracting and not willing to push. But there is nurses that are coming out and doctors as well from Canada, right? But they won't get any air whatsoever in any formal mainstream media at all. That's for sure.
Well, this is weird. Recently left Prescott, Arizona as their last activist thing before Spokane. And there we did a lot of signs, you know, we had a sign making, and it was because of a hospital there. We had there's a small Yavapai County hospital there that they got taken over by the big Destiny, whatever the hell it is. I mean, you know, they're consolidating everything into, you know, one big giant Obama hospital or whatever is going on. And they're going, you have to have your shots by September 22nd or it's voluntary termination of you're not allowed to work here anymore or something. So they had a community gathering, you know, like a potluck for all these people, got to tell their stories, you know, what can we do to help and that kind of thing. Then we had the sign making deal and the signs went up. He just sent me texts of more signs going up. You know, they went for it. We did like 200 signs and, you know, various different ones. And of course, the most popular, you know, support first responders who say no to mandatory shots with the logo and so on. And what, they had pushed back to November 1st now, the requirement, because they were losing everybody. You know, they're going, no, we ain't doing it. You know, what are you going to do now? And they go, well, we're going to have to close and send people to, you know, Cottonwood Hospital. And they go, well, we were going to close and send them all to you. And then they go, well, we'll send them to Phoenix. Yeah, that's the ticket. We'll go to Phoenix. You know, so they're just willing to close the hospital and rather than capitulate. And finally, they just went, damn it, you know, so we're going to go ahead and push it back to November 1st and see if we can get some more, I don't know, propaganda or, you know, I have no idea what they're going to do, you know, but they're getting pushed
into a corner, right? So they're desperate. Problem is here, though, is we got socialized healthcare, so there's no options, right, at all. Like you have in Canada, in the United States with private institutions, even in Norway, you know, socialized healthcare Norway, they still have private solutions because their socialized healthcare is crap. Problem here is that there's nobody and the massive unions, right? So the unions are intimidating the nurses and doctors, right? So they don't dare to speak out. But there are people that are, you know, coming out, but it, not in the numbers, unfortunately, like you see in the United States, where some places, you know, you got almost 50, 60, 70% of the hospital not taking it because they're clearly seeing it right to their face, you know, what's going on here. You know, how can you question, you know, you got the nurse whistleblower there for a product Veritas the other day. It's kind of right in your face when you see that, and then more and more nurses will come out and so on. So we see a little bit of that. There was a few nurses. Actually, I have one of my sister-in-laws. She had a friend that works at the virology lab in Winnipeg, the level 4 lab here, and the level 4 lab in Winnipeg. She actually quit and then suddenly became an anti-vaxxer. Like she was totally against vaccines. And I wonder why, because I've never been able to get a hold of her because my sister-in-law doesn't want to talk to her anymore. They were best friends, by the way. So you've seen like this like whole thing. Like my family just had a gathering the other day, my wife's family here. Nobody told me, you know, like it was pretty obvious what they were doing. But they're going out to celebrate, you know, my in-law's birthday at the restaurant. And nobody had the guts to tell me that they were doing it. It was pretty obvious that they were doing it. It's like, you don't have to lie to me. I know exactly what you guys are doing, but I think it's very, I think it's great that you want to celebrate it, but I think it's very wrong, like, what you guys are doing. Let me tell you why. Like, I'm not, you know, looking down at you or anything, but I just want to tell you, you know, like, do you want your little nephews to live in a world where everybody will get divided like this, and they would have to show, you know, documentation everywhere? It is a slippery slope that people don't understand, like, how damn slippery it is. Like, this is right at social credit score right now. Like, that's where we're at with the vaccine passport, because it's a huge step towards it.
Oh, no, this is, how is this not that? Yeah. What do you mean it's almost kind of sort of getting slippery, whatever, slippery slope.
Well, you don't have the physical score, right? But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, Ernie.
Hopefully. Oh yeah, no, this is, you know, this is a slip and slide going down the hill. It's not like you know they hold up the,
it's a sinkhole.
They give you a score at the end or something. They haven't done the score yet, but you know, you definitely took the dive, you know.
Well, now you're gonna struggle because your score is gonna start at 100, but then when you get, if you don't take the third vaccine, your score is gonna start to go down now, right? So
yeah,
it's
gonna be
fun times.
They're gaming this thing. Well, you know, on the final note on this, before we get to the economic stuff, I just want to know, what is your opinion? Is this the new normal? You know, is this going to finally get some resistance? Are they having enough family members that are getting ill or having the problem? That was one thing that reminded me to talk about Prescott. There was a young nurse assistant that was a student at the local nursing school or whatever. And she's really popular, cute, single mom, working hard, had to get the jab because of the, you know, keep her job, she thought, or whatever. Boom, got Bell's palsy. And it just became, you know, reverberated through the hospital. Then some other people had some adverse reactions. And one doctor said, I'm done. And he's going to Montana to open up a practice with some other doctors, and said, because Montana is not requiring something, you know. And this is Arizona. You know, Arizona is kind of, you know, kiss my butt in Arizona.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are resisting, but the administration has threw in with every weight that they have. If it's government subsidized in any way, if you want to take Medicaid, Medicare, kind of medicine, anything, you're going to have to do this. And then Prescott, they had the stat came out that if they don't have 80% of their beds filled, they lose money and go out of business anyway. So this is, they're trying to balance with, we got to keep the beds filled, we got to this, we can't that, but without employees, we have to have a certain minimum amount of staff to be with, kind of, we're so screwed, you know. And their business plan counts on everybody complying, and when they don't, it jacks up all their crap. So I'm just going, so what's going to happen in Winnipeg? Is this continuing? You know, are they?
They will definitely continue if we don't rise up. So, like, we're having, as I said, you know, rallies every day at the legislative building. And, you know, you got the silent, scared supporters out there. Apparently, it's 87% that is against it in the province, all these regulations. But I don't see them there yet. So,
all right, Tim. In Arizona, you know, you and Tina Marie, you know, got pulse on this a little bit. You're paying attention. And when we left, we were in Prescott, was the last event that we did, and they're kind of in resistance. How's Arizona doing?
I think there's only, you know, people aren't wearing masks now by and large, but it's only because, you know, the governor said, okay, now you don't have to wear a mask. But for the most part, people here were very disappointing and were basically big pussies throughout this entire thing. And, you know, I was basically the only one anytime I was in the grocery store who wasn't wearing a mask during, like, the heart of all this stuff. And so when I went to Pork Fest last year, basically nobody was wearing masks. And then I came back from Pork Fest, and all of a sudden they made that decree, and, like, everybody was, you know, and then all of a sudden Arizona was code red. If you look at the graphs from last year, they were saying for most of the year last year that Phoenix was the worst place in the entire world
for
COVID, like even worse than Wuhan, supposedly. So, you know, and obviously, you know, your audience knows about the PCR test and all that stuff, but
where's all the people dying in the streets like they did in Wuhan?
Yeah, I don't know. I live in a retirement community. I don't know anybody that's dying. I don't know anybody that, you know, we live in the most dangerous place, but who knows? And I just saw yesterday that my kid's school district sent something out saying, and of course it's, you know, I'm sure it's probably leftist at the top. And I walk in there, like the other day I was walking in there with the final COVID variant is communism shirt. And actually I had some of the teachers who liked it. And most of the kids in there aren't wearing masks, but they just sent out an email last night saying basically that the government somehow that there's, because there was some sort of legislation saying that they banned mask mandates, but it was tucked into some sort of budget bill, and they were saying that that's unconstitutional, and now the school districts, because it's unconstitutional, might consider potentially wearing masks again. And now it says that right now it's highly encouraged and recommended that all students and staff wear masks, but with that said, like almost nobody is. Like when I walk in there, maybe like 5% of people are, but last year I was the only person who was even daring to walk into the school without a mask. And actually at one point they actually told me that I could walk in there without a mask because they saw me just outside, not bringing my kids into school. And they're like, well, you know, your kids are missing school right now. I'm like, well, I don't really want them in school anyway. So they're like, well, aren't you concerned they're going to get behind? I'm like, well, no, they're in kindergarten. And I'm sure you're just, yeah. I'm sure you're just, you know, teaching them a bunch of nonsense anyways. They're like, well, how come you're just sitting out here? Cause my ex-wife works at the school that they're at, but that for whatever reason that day, she wasn't there. So they're like, well, aren't you worried? Like if your kids are missing school. I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm not going to walk in there with a mask. They're like, okay, you're allowed to come in here without a mask because we don't want your kids falling behind. And so I got them to say without me even asking that I could just go in there without a mask, even when it was like being heavily enforced last year. But I feel like every place has just been overrun, and we like Phoenix right now, I guess I saw an article on Zero Hedge is the hottest housing market in the country right now. And so we get people from other places, and I feel like it's not as radicalized as it was, but you know, but I look at my neighbors and I see my neighbors with different like prepping supplies, and they got two neighbors on both sides of me who have like boxing things that they're always, you know, out there, you know, every morning, like fucking boxing away. So it's kind of pissing me off, but I'm like, okay, at least they're, you know, working on some defense or, you know,
whoa, what the hell are you talking about? Your neighbors are boxing. What?
They like have like always like, you know, the whatever it is, like the boxing bags that like in their garages, and then like they're like boxing in the morning. Like,
oh, okay, all right. So they're exercising. I get it. Oh, you guys froze up.
You know, it's not nearly as radical as what I would like it to be, or I'm sure as what you'd like it to be. And maybe that's because you left last year. So Arizona got soft. I don't know.
I know, man. Every time we leave, we come back, we start being buttheads and doing, then it, you know, gets a little, I'm telling you, there's a lot to that. I mean, it all it takes is, you know, demonstration, one person, one event, one thing, you know, kind of open it up a little bit, and it happens. And if there's not that flavor there, it's lost. You know, it really happened a year ago, November, last Thanksgiving, when we came back to Arizona being on our trip, and I was flabbergasted at how much compliance there was. I was like, what the hell is that? So then we started doing a bunch of signs and putting them on overpasses and everything, and it kind of loosened up a little bit, and they went, damn it, you know, the Arizona Ernie and his people, you know, again, kind of crap. And I'm just going, you know, all right, you guys want to play, let's play. And then it seemed like it was, you know, had its own, we went back on the road and it seemed like it was going to be okay. Then we leave again and it starts all over. And I'm going, what is up with that? You know, who are the resistors now? And you have somebody will come up and say, you know, yeah, we're the, you know, the organized resistance of give us money resistance of join our club resistance, but they're actually no one that's out in the street freaking doing it. You know, that's one thing that frustrates the crap out of me. Everybody of their keyboard warriors, but don't get their freaking asses out in the street and actually do something. You know, that is what's missing. You know, get your ad. And that's what we try and show when we come out with the signs and everything is like, look, this is something simple you can do to have a big impact that people see that there is resistance. They have to see and feel there is resistance. They have to do resistance. It doesn't happen by itself. That's my point. And I'm going, when do you ever have a revolution without a sign? I want to know when that happens. When does that happen? You know? So that's why I do this stuff. And I'm very disappointed that it needs constant Ernie and Donna pressure for it to happen. So in Arizona, what is the politics? You know, are people, pick up? They all, you know, all they're about is the, you know, election audit that I don't give a crap about anyway. I mean, you know, so where's the resistance in Arizona, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, and you had, you know, you gave a great breakdown months ago about the whole election audit when you're like, you know, you worked with, you know, you had known one of the guys who's in charge of the final result as some scumbag from way back in the day. And basically he was there to, you know, carry the, you know, be the bag man.
Yeah, don't say his name, but his initials are Steve Gallardo.
Yeah. And so people would ask me about this, like, oh, aren't you so excited that your county, Maricopa County, is, you know, on the front lines of doing all this? I'm like, no, because, you know, it's all about, you know, how many, like, oh, wow, there was a recount and they, you know, the fake numbers that got in through the first time, you know, they counted almost the exact same amount of, you know, fake numbers the second time. I mean, obviously there's things behind it. And I mean, your audience knows that. I mean, I don't believe this for 1 second, and I predicted it was going to happen ahead of time. So, you know, I'm not like really shocked, but, you know, people think, oh, and people are still out there thinking they're going to vote harder, and Trump's, you know, trying to rally the troops to, you know, run again. I'm like, oh, so you're going to try harder to win a rigged election this time when now you're not in power and have less control. I mean, so I don't know what they're thinking of, but, yeah, Arizona has just been, you know, I'm glad that we've got, you know, the lack of gun laws and protection here. And I think that, you know, we're a lot safer here. And I will say Northern Arizona is a lot different than, you know, Phoenix. So you go to Northern Arizona, aside from Flagstaff, I mean, screw them. But, you know, aside from Flagstaff, the rest of the Northern Arizona seems pretty cool when it comes to not
Flagstaff is Northern Arizona University, which is very hippy dippy liberal, environmental, whatever university. And then, you have University of Arizona, very liberal. That is, you know, Tucson, just, you know, there are few, if any, unions in Arizona, other than municipal, but, the union domination is certainly University of Arizona, because Arizona is a right to work state. So you can't require union membership and stuff. And then, Phoenix has been, you know, fairly conservative, except for the government. It's kind of like Winnipeg, you know, they, you know, it's just, if the government's liberal as hell, but they've gotten so big that they're a big influence. So the majority, you know, like that leaves like half of the population is out in rural Arizona, where people came to get away from all this crap. And they're miners, loggers, farmers, ranchers, kind of business owners, leave me alone. I moved there to retire, be left alone people. And, and it's always, you know, this is why they have this, you know, grants for different municipalities to require you get your water treatment plant. And of course it's $300 million of a little small tax base of whatever the hell, so that they can get you indebted into some water treatment thing. And then they have conditions are that you have multi housing, you know, it's multi dwelling housing. You got this and that. You know, why do they care about so that they can pump in a bunch of low income people to be able to dominate the voting situation? You know, this is how they do it. It's how they, you know, gerrymander my ass. They don't need to do the gerrymandering. They just dump them into a district. You know, so this, you need some more Somali immigrants, you know, you don't have enough Afghanis. People, Afghanistan, you know, recognizes Arizona terrain. Well, here they come. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So this is what's happening. You can sit there and watch it happen. And they think in terms of decades and centuries or whatever to get what they want. And I'm going, all right, so here comes economics 101 is, you know, playing out in Arizona. And we have, I saw the same article we had on Freeman's Phoenix that Arizona is like the hottest of the hot real estate hot. And I'm going, okay, well, that always happens right up until it doesn't. And it's the, you know, Southern California, Arizona, Nevada. And usually you can tell when it goes is when Arizona, Nevada takes a real estate dump. And when that happens, you know, then I'm like looking, you know, for land. And when that happens, then so goes the rest of the country. And then it'll start coming back. But they're always here. What's going on now, Tim? Why is that happening?
Well, I mean, I think we are the largest recipient of people coming from Southern California or going to the Scottsdale area. So you've got people escaping one hellhole and then basically, you know, creating a, you know, a California light over here, unfortunately. So, you know, as they escape one place and go to another. So I think that's a big driver of it. You know, cost of living, you know, here relative to most places in California is, you know, going to be substantially less. Taxes here, obviously, you know, gigantic, a huge amount less in taxes over here versus California. And so, so you are seeing some of that migration and, you know, you do have a lot more freedom over here than a lot of other places. And so, but then people then, you know, want to then vote themselves, you know, some of the same bullshit that they tried escaping from time and time again. And, but you know, it's just, I don't know.
Maybe they don't.
But you could see, you know, real estate keep going up and other asset prices keep going up just because of the amount of money that's printed. Now, like for getting to like an economic thing, like one of the main things I sort of look at is where the 10-year treasury is. And right now it's 1.52.
It's like moving up ago, quite heavily too.
A month ago it was sitting close to one. Like 1.1 in August. So, you know, when you're getting to that 1.5 zone, like that's what I've told people is around like what my like kind of yellow light, a caution zone. Now, but I would say a couple of years ago that was closer to like 2.5%, 3%. But now, you know, the caution zone keeps getting moved down as we get more and more debt. You need to have a lower interest rate to service debt as, you know, the Ponzi scheme accelerates. And so once you get above two, that's really like kind of the flashing red of, oh shit, like the government's not gonna be able to pay its obligations, or, you know, the companies, you know, cause the Ponzi scheme is harder for to keep going. And so part of me, what I think is going to happen at like a 45D chest is that the Fed is coming out. They're saying they're going to start tapering, probably in November, but you know, the sooner they start tapering, really the sooner that they stop tapering. And actually, if you guys take a look at the Drudge Report headline too, it's like pretty crazy about, you know, YouTube banning all the vaccine videos and major channels as well.
I see really? That's like a big,
go to Drudge Report right now. It's quite the headline. But getting back to economics, I mean, we just got above that 1.52, and so what I think is going to happen is that they're going to, you know, start tapering, and then the market's going to go down. They're going to have some like new reason or some other, you know, black swan is then going to, you know, cause the Fed to basically reverse course and keep doing what they're doing. But they might look to have some sort of market crash to then be the stimulant to then keep, you know, printing more money. And that's sort of what I think is it. So I don't really see any sustained 2008 type crash. I think in terms of like the actual nominal prices of these assets, but you know, in real terms, it could be going down because if you take inflation rate minus whatever, these assets are going up. But yeah, and Ernie's pulling up on the screen right now that YouTube is banning, you know, prominent activists like RFK Jr. and Dr. Mercola have had all their videos taken, their channels taken down, and now YouTube is actually blocking all anti-vaccine content, you know, off their platform.
Well, they completely. Were trying to get anybody that would do, you know, the New York Times came after Freedom's Phoenix, the Freedom's Phoenix, you know, the misinformation center of the universe, because I had Dr. Mercola articles on. So
they can't ban you though.
Yeah, see, that was one thing. I'm like, and then it was NewsGuard, and I'm like, so who the hell's NewsGuard? What do I give a crap what Microsoft says? You know, oh, is it? Well, they're wanting to be an app that's an add-on to the browsers to prevent you from getting misinformation. And they're going, we're going to ban Freedom's Phoenix as misinformation from our browser, blah, 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 if you don't do what we tell you. And I'm like, well, you know, so ban me. I don't give a shit, you know. So it was, you could see this coming, and now they just said, ah, screw it. You know, any and everything that is not Zeke Heil government, we're just banning you on YouTube.
Yeah, then you get guys like Tim Pool. Right? Tim Pool's like, oh, was that a NewsGuard article? And so, you know, Mr. Tim Pool, who's like the wokest motherfucker out there, like, oh, we got a Tim Pool for whatever reasons, you know, the most popular basically person our age, you know, YouTuber. But it's like, oh, was that a NewsGuard approved article? And so I'm like, you know, what don't you get, Tim, that at this point of the game, you're still looking for stupid NewsGuard approved articles that's run by Microsoft? And so
you look at, you know,
was he being serious?
Yeah, no, all the time. Like he's because he had Alex Jones on the other day, And so I watched I've only watched his Alex Jones shows and like maybe like two or three other ones. And I heard him again say, oh, news guard, you know, we got to make sure there's a news guard link to whatever Alex is saying, you know, because Alex would say crazy stuff. And like every single time they would find articles that basically backed up exactly what he was saying, no matter how crazy it was. And even he was talking.
Well, so like that's the thing. It's like you're getting everybody that is trying to rebut me these days are sending me stupid fact checkers. It's like, go and do some research.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. Like, it just baffles me. Like, just to elaborate on what happened, like banning stuff in Winnipeg, you know, during the height of it back in, this was back in the height of COVID. It was actually four people got arrested here that were holding anti-mask and anti-vaccine protests here. And they were released. I know two of them. They were released because they chose to sign a paper that said that I will not ever be at a protest again, and I will not, you know, talk to any of these people. Yeah.
So they had to say they'll never be at a protest ever again.
Wow.
And the thing is, this entire police state apparatus was all basically cheerleaded by the Republicans and, oh, we're going to get the, you know, Al-Qaeda, we're going to get all the brown people. But they never realized that the entire system was set up to get them. So as they went and tried to, you know, cheerlead getting, you know, all this police state to, you know, get all the bad guys, they were not astute enough to realize that they were the bad
Silver's
guys.
Silver's down to 21.55. What the F, man? Holy shit. I need to get me some silver. Crap. I'm buying some silver. I'm buying some silver.
How much can you actually get it though for like a bunch
I don't
of spot,
know,
though?
But I had a principle, man.
Here in Canada, we're $7 to $10 of a
here, check this
right
out,
now.
Donna.
And there's a huge lack of silver too, actually, at our
right.
at our
judge
silver
report. Wait, I gotta get Donna in on this.
I had to screen. Can I had this. I screenshotted this just to.
All right, well, go and get that and take that screenshot on Drug Report, too. That right there, that's awesome. You know, you got to put that at her band in there. That, man, that is, are you freaking kidding me? Okay, all right, wait. This is what, you know, I was, you know, bringing up on, you know, when I have, it's one thing we're going to start, you know, pressing more, you know, the power of Freedom's Phoenix and all the stuff that you can do with it. We have what's called a custom module here, and you have custom links, and you can do, you know, all kinds of stuff with it. And what I have, the one thing every day that I check is I have the 30-year treasury bond. And I've had that up for a decade, okay? Because that was something that you could see what was coming by what the 30-year treasury was going to be. And so I always put that up there. Boom! This spike right here, I'm like, where the hell did that come from and why? So, well, you know, I explain that to me.
Yeah, well, let me elaborate on what Tim was saying as well with, you know, the interest rates going up there. If you go and look at around the world right now, most of the central banks are hiking interest rates. The Central Bank of Norway, Central Bank of Russia, Central Bank of Brazil. Most of the ones that are not in Western worlds are hiking interest rates right now. Because they're preparing for what is coming, which is supposed to be interest rate hikes in 2022. Now, of course, like last time they did it, me and Tim have covered this in great detail, but that kind of encapsulated in, you know, a trouble in 2018 there at the end of the year. And then you got the repo crisis of 2019, right? That basically there was somebody that was bankrupt of an institution that nobody wanted to lend to. And so the Federal Reserve had to come in and buy a whole bunch of these assets. And actually, I've been working on a report that just is out, and you can find it online. And it's a report on central banks' balance sheets globally. And let me tell you, like, Tim, we got to talk about this as well. But the newest number that I pulled for central banks' balance sheets, size of the global GDP, it's 63.36%. Well, in 2008, it was at 17.61%. So I wrote an article 3 years ago. Remember that where I said the Fed will own everything, then nothing. Well, it's starting to move slowly that way, isn't it?
Okay, no, wait. Describe what you're talking about. They will own everything and then nothing. It's like, you know, they printed money and bought assets with it, and then they're going to sell it. What?
Yeah, so like in the 2002, before it was the governor, he said that they would need to apply a broader array of assets to purchase in the next crisis and look at increasing that. So what they're talking about is they would basically create central bank reserves, give like they'll take the toxic assets off of the bank's balance sheet, put them on their Federal Reserve balance sheet, and what they would do then is put fresh new digital capital at the central at the bank's bank account with the Federal Reserve, called the bank reserves that they have there with the Federal Reserve. So that's what they've been doing, and that's why you've seen they're leveraging that some banks, and now you know you got the stock markets going up because a lot of debt is piling in there with margin debt, which is basically like a home equity line of credit on your stock portfolio. So you keep on increasing the amount of debt that you borrow and buy more and more.
But then the collateral, the actual assets that they, you know, say they got, you know, they're toxic, yeah, whatever the hell, they are going to get them off the balance sheet at some time. They're going to sell them or not, or
well, they tried. Yeah, they tried in when was it, Tim? Was it 2018 that they started to sell off? Let me just pull off the data here so I can.
Hey, let me go ahead and give the history.
Yeah, it was 2018.
As I remember it, and you know, I want to make sure the audience understands. I want to make sure I understand, first thing. But this is what happened. As I remember, there was, and I tell this story all the time, to where Renee Houlihan, I know you know, Tim, you probably remember Renee. You know, I remember she had a shirt in 08 that said, the Fed did it. And it had an arrow pointing down with a dollar sign. I go, what did the Fed do? And I had the camera on her. I go, the Fed did it. What did they do? She goes, they printed paper and bought gold with it. And I went, whoa, if that wasn't the simplest explanation of what the hell is going on. So they had the Fed, they come in and they print just a bunch of money. They go to these banks and they say, you know, you got to do your overnight. This is why in October of 19, we decided to do this trip around the country, because I can see here it comes. Here it freaking comes. This is it. I am not a financial wizard of I know what the hell, but I know this. They are going to just print money, and they're going to take whatever assets the banks have that they just lend into existence, whatever freaking golf course, bridge, you know, aqueduct of infrastructure, of building, corporate, whatever the hell crap that they just come out, whatever malinvestment that they got out there. And then they're going to say, all right, we'll take those assets like they did in 08 during in 09 during the TARP and everything. And they say, this, we'll take all this crap you have on your books and we'll give you a dollar for dollar. Here it is. Take the money. Well, they didn't, you know, weren't able to get anybody to lend Lehman Brothers anything. And that's what started the financial crash. They just said, and it cascaded and boom. So then what does the Fed do? The Fed says, look, we'll be the last resort lender. There will not be a lack of money. You know, we got the printing press and we just need to, we had to get learnified and how it worked. And this is our solution. We'll have plenty of money for you. Don't worry about it. So then we had the repo window or something in the end of 19. And they go, just put your stuff on our balance sheet and we will give you money for it. Whatever it is that you fund, we give you the money because you get it first. You know, we have tons of money and they would be able to just lend it out there and they get interest on money that they just got given, you know, and but they got these assets that aren't going to perform. They know that they're not going to do anything. So what do? They give it to the Federal Reserve. They give them the money back. And now it's sitting on the Fed balance sheet. And within months, 40% of mortgages was on the Fed's balance sheet. And I'm going, oh, this will turn out well. So now we got all this money that's been given back to them, and you just keep doing it. You know, so then you have the Fed has that was, I thought that was illegal as hell. You weren't supposed to be able to do this. But anyway, so they got all these assets sitting on the Fed balance sheet. Well, when that happened in the TARP in 2009 and so on, I kept asking, I'm going, where does that go? When do they pay that back? When does it get off the books? And there was an economist in Arizona. I don't know if you remember her name, Tim. It was she wrote a book out of, you know, Safford Thatcher Pima College or something there. I don't know if you remember what you, I had her on the show. And she goes, they're not going to sell it. They're just going to wait the 30 years for these mortgages to, you know, go through the problem. They'll just write them off. You know, they'll never get rid of them. They're never going to get rid of them. They're just going to sit on the balance sheet. So now when they're doing this and he did it once, they'll just do it again. So they're doing it to the tune of $1 billion. I mean, quadrillion dollars. They just keep doing it. And then what happens? They're sitting there building up these assets on the Fed. I'm going, are they going to liquidate them? Are they going to sell them? And when they do, we saw this in the savings and loans thing, because I'm old enough to remember this. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, the Resolution Trust Corporation, which is back then, oh my God, $600 billion is like real money back then. And they come out and they, you know, instead of selling these assets to the people, you know, house at a time, or, you know, somebody could just buy this one golf course, or they could do that. They go, nope, you got to sell, you know, buy it in $100 million increments. So you got to buy all these assets or the entire subdivision or something for pennies on the dollar, when the taxpayer or just regular people could be buying assets and land and property and get the benefit from it, since they got ripped off as taxpayers to fund the banks, you know, being made whole anyway, that they didn't have the ability to buy all the liquidation of these assets. So they got, you know, the banks again got to get all this stuff at pennies on the dollar. So I'm looking at the same freaking thing happening. They did it before. They're going to do it again. They print a shitload of money. They give it to the banks and everything that they lent out and created and whatever development of who gives a crap. And they take and put it on the balance sheet of the Fed, and they hold it. They hold it. They hold it. They hold it until they give BlackRock and friends a whole bunch more money again for them to be able to buy all this stuff back at pennies on the dollar. How far off am I?
Yeah, no, they pretty close, but on there, and then of course what we have now, what we're watching right now is another little crisis developing, which is a little bit bigger than Lehman and the $13 billion that collapsed in mortgages, that then collapsed mortgage-backed securities and the derivative, and then of course the derivative credit default swap, which was an insurance on the mortgage-backed securities, and collapsed AIG and all. So you got, you know, like this cascading amount of events. Now you have the Evergrande crisis over in China. They have their massive real estate problem. You know, me and Josh, we when I worked with Josh, we had a lot of videos that we did on the Chinese property bubble, because we saw what was happening. It was just basically building ghost towns. And then pre-selling properties to people that I think there's as much as 1.5 million properties that still haven't, you know, been put over to the owners that they actually bought the properties for. But now we have Evergrande, $300 billion worth of assets that are collapsing right now. They just, you know, tried to keep themselves alive by selling, what was it, $1.75 billion of shares in Shenzhen Bank Shenzhen Finance Investment Group in order to raise capital to pay for their bonds that they have due out there. And so that is another crisis again. But you're seeing these everywhere. And also, interestingly enough, the rate Evergrande started to go up in price on the stock market in Hong Kong. It followed the issuance of mortgage-backed securities. So it's basically the derivative of the debt that they, you know, have the underlying debt that they promised, right? So you're seeing These schemes are going on. And if you look at the Federal Reserve, well, they bought, how much is it, Tim? Was it, when we were looking at, was it 30% or 40% of the total, like debt, like through the mortgage-backed securities in the U.S. that they're holding or something like that last time we checked? I think it was around there, right?
Yeah, something like that. And then to Ernie's point, and to Ernie's point, if you were able to give me screen sharing, I can show you that BlackRock literally laid out the plan of what the Fed should do. So,
yeah, they got 20 million. What was it? We looked at the documents, didn't we, Tim? The actual contract agreement that BlackRock was
selling their own assets. This is find this on their own fucking website, BlackRock.com. This is not some conspiratorial thing where they gave a speech at Jackson Hole, basically called dealing with the next downturn from unconventional monetary policy to unprecedented polycoordination. And I mean, didn't really take too long for them to have to implement this. And, you know, it goes on to say, you know, extreme form of going direct would be an explicit and permanent monetary financing of a fiscal expansion or so-called helicopter money. A practical way of going direct would need to deliver the following: unprecedented response is needed when monetary policy is exhausted and fiscal policy alone is not enough. A soft form of coordination would help ensure that monetary and fiscal policy are both providing stimulus rather than working in the opposite direction. Fiscal response should play a greater role, but is unlikely to be effective in its form. There is not enough monetary policy space to deal with the next downturn.
And then Larry over there sits on $8 billion worth, no, $1 trillion worth of assets.
Yeah, so they have a whole 16-page plan on their website.
But they actually said helicopter money.
Yeah, it says helicopter money in quotes.
Where's the helicopter money?
On their website. There better be a big freaking helicopter.
I don't see the helicopters. Where's the helicopter? They need to call it digital.
Well, they were going to have a Black Hawk helicopter, but then they thought that'd be racist since it was a Black Hawk helicopter.
Oh, God. They bring in the Chinooks. You know,
They have Apache, or Obama's worried about the Redskins' names, but they have Apache helicopters firing Tomahawk missiles at you know, brown people.
That's good. I was hoping for helicopter money, but of course we're getting stupid digital, you know, pushing of money. So it's not fun. I was wanting to see the helicopters. You know, I was earning for the day that I would see a helicopter, you know, dropping bills. You know, like, woo! From the sky, you know? That'd be a lot of fun.
This BlackRock thing, you know, so the audience understands, which means so I understand.
I just sent it to you in the chat, so you've got the link for it if you wanted to post it at some point or refer to it later on. You got to
telegram it to Donna or nothing happens.
Okay.
To it, you know, so this is what happens. BlackRock, which whoever the hell they manufactured, created that out of, you know, a Disney movie or whatever the hell. So you have, you know, BlackRock is just an entity created by somebody for something that the Federal Reserve can just give a crap load of money to so that they can go buy stuff. Right.
They bought up basically their junk bonds last year. So they had a junk bond ETFs, and BlackRock came in and sold the Fed their ETFs, they're just buying up their ETF, and then they got to act as a middleman and the broker for that. And then
but created out of what? BlackRock came from what?
I don't, and it was Larry Fink, but I don't know like the origins of all of this, but I'm sure it was it's just they, them, those.
They created this entity that had, you know, the, you know, COVID pass from the Federal Reserve to be able to get into the whatever the hell. And they go and they buy all these assets to be able, that was the mechanism by which they put all this stuff on the Fed's balance sheet. You know, true or false?
True. But technically, they didn't put it on the Fed's balance sheet. The Fed made these special purpose vehicles. And so because it was illegal for the Fed to buy it, so the Fed just basically lent money to these special purpose vehicles so that way they would buy it. But same thing.
Special purpose vehicle is just like a shell corporation, basically, that they offset assets of the bank's balance sheet.
Okay, I remember when this was going on. They were saying it was illegal, like you're saying, for the Federal Reserve to be able to buy treasuries and all this other crap. But then when they would put it out, and they put it out and, you know, the auction for, you know, 10-year, 30-year, 3-year, whatever year treasuries, and nobody bought them, all of a sudden there would be, you know, this agency of group of somebody from something in the Cayman Islands would swoop in and buy whatever was left over. And I'm going, well, who are those guys? It's the Fed. You know, this is just all a lie for decades. Ever since I even took a look to be able and started radio, I'm going, well, they're just lying. And they're going, yeah, but, you know, they stroke dash did a law policy of Jackson Hole said and helicopter money. And you're going, oh, okay. Well, it's still a lie, right? And this is, you know, the big giant. I go, when are we going to look to when they're going to make a crap load of transfer from just creating the money, giving it to these people, and then conduiting it onto somewhere? Somebody's got to, you know, we got to find some way to give them the money. Well, here's the money. Now give us all your trash assets like they did with the TARP, and we're going to put it somewhere. We're going to put it. We're going to put it in the Fed, you know, on the Fed's books. Well, this is what's happening right now in front of us to the tune of $1 trillion. This does not end well. How does this unravel?
So I didn't realize this till right now, but one of the authors of this paper that we were sharing from BlackRock, and now he works at BlackRock, I didn't realize this right now, is Stanley Fisher, senior advisor of BlackRock Investment Institute. So Stanley Fisher was the former vice chair of the Fed, also the former chair of the Bank of Israel as well. And he's the one that came out with a paper that I happened to just be going through the Fed's website in 2012. So Stanley Fisher is the one
now he works up one of the shareholders.
So he's the one that came out and said that basically that we basically need to issue bail-inable bonds, where instead of like going through and taking like a haircut of people like they did in Cyprus, that they basically just, you know, steal money through like through people's bonds. And so there was this, it's hard to find now on the Fed's website, but he was the author of that speech as well. And of course, you know, and so why is even, you know, not like I'm making some anti-Semitic comment, but like, why is the Federal Reserve, why are you having an Israeli citizen who is running the Bank of Israel then is in the number two spot at the Fed? Was at the time, not anymore, because now he's moved on to bigger and better things like BlackRock. Well, so I didn't realize that until right now that Stanley Fisher is one of the authors of this.
This is a big, giant bank robbery. That I don't know how else to put it.
It's a world robbery by the way.
And it's inverted. Yeah, exactly. It's inverted bank robbery. That's what it is.
Like that saying, if you want to buy a gun, if you want to rob a bank, buy a gun. If you want to rob the world, buy a bank.
And you're like, one of the biggest criminals out there is the carny man. You know, if you look up the term carny man, it's a con man, I believe. And Mark Carney, from Canada, from Goldman Sachs, worked at the Bank of Canada, destroyed Canada, then left to Bank of England, destroyed England. And then he also worked at the Financial Stability Board, that little secret entity that are creating all the central bank policies.
They're grooming him to come back. Like, he's back! Klaus Schwab together.
The bastard is back in Canada, and he's actually pushing ESG goals now within the government. He's telling me and everybody else that we need climate lockdowns and all this stuff. Like, I don't know if you had read the article on climate lockdowns from the WBCSD group. It's like a whole bunch of corporations that work with the World Economic Forum, but they're talking about climate lockdowns. I don't know if you guys have, you know, read that article at all. But that is the next thing, you know, like when we all forget about COVID in like half a year or
MasterCard's announcing that they're having that they want to like cap your carbon based upon
economy.
Like, the carbon emissions of your purchases. And that's already a thing. I do have to get going soon. I've got a 9 o'clock meeting. I can be a couple minutes late to it. But I did want to point out that I bought a generator a year ago, almost exactly last October. It was $560. Bought the same one in June, so we got another one, was $780. And now on Amazon, that exact same one is $1,200, if they even have it. And so this is just 1 year, the price of the same generator has doubled just in one year. And that's the point that I brought up in the show before, that I really feel like they're going to have some sort of, you know, either manufactured
look at natural
power,
gas prices.
Energy crisis. Yeah, so if you go to tradingeconomics.com and you look at like the commodities section, aside from silver and gold, like everything else is up like massively, like 50%, 100%, you know, natural gas, everything is up.
we're going to be back in Arizona by Thanksgiving, and we're going to, you know, I don't know if we have to rent or not because the way everything is, you know, instead of buying, but and silver being down and crypto and all that other stuff. So we may get another place, but it's going to be to accumulate, you know, more stuff. We already got a lot of our solar and everything, but I wanted to buy some bulk batteries. And we have, you know, a 7-kilowatt generator on the bus. We got, you know, we got. So we're pretty stable here on the bus. You know, the bus is comfortable as long as it's not 120 degrees. That sucks. But the it gives us an opportunity to accumulate the stuff that we're talking about. But what happened? You know, it doubled in price. You know, your assets went, you know, half, you know, I mean, or less. And you're just going, what the hell? Of course, I'm glad I bought a bunch of panels and copper and my lines and wiring and whatever, because I knew this was going to happen. But I didn't think this fast and this bad. And this is just the beginning. This is the beginning. And when we look at this BlackRock thing, is just a they're just getting you used to the idea of they're going to screw you. And it was never more complicated than what Renee said. They printed paper and bought gold with it, which means they bought assets. You know, they just throw this paper that we created. Now they don't even need paper. They're going to go to, you know, GoldmanSucks.gov coin. Here comes the digital currency of something. And they're just going to be pushing buttons and your bank account, and it's gone now. And just like they did with YouTube and all opposition is you're not allowed to talk about whatever, it's going to be you're not allowed to talk about whatever they say you're not allowed to talk about. And they're going to be surveilling everybody. This is just the beginning. This is not even got started in earnest yet. And your social credit score is going to be linked not just to whether you got your COVID shot or not. It's whether you're a dissenter or not. You know,
100%.
You know, this
is in China.
Yeah. So this is, you know, dissent against what? Whatever the hell they say. So we're up in Washington now at a community to where they're buying grocery stores. They're opening a butchery. They're starting to get, you know, apartments that they're doing. They're, you know, creating land used of building apartments of we're doing housing or if they're doing whatever and getting more buffalo. I mean, this is what we're in New Hampshire. Same thing. You know, the Liberty community, if you're not making it to where you're having a community that's able to feed yourself, you're going to be in the line of, you know, at the stadium getting your next case of bottled water. That's what's going to happen. And I'm just, this is it's scary as hell. And this BlackRock thing from out of the freaking, now when you tell me who's doing it and, you know, they just stroke dash so they can put it on the Fed balance sheet. Well, there you go. You know, here it comes. And I could just feel it in October of 19. That's why we went on the road. I'm going, I already know where this is going. What they're doing is they're printing. They're just creating a shitload of money. They're taking all the assets and making all the banks whole and so on. And then they're going to be able to buy those assets back at fractions of pennies on the dollar to resell it back to us and start it all over again. That's what's going to happen. And you're not allowed to do it. And we're not going to be able to buy it a single acre or a house at a time because they're going to sell entire subdivisions that went defunct. They did it before a couple of times. They did it with the Savings and Loan Resolution Trust Corp thing in the 90s. And they got, you know, what they wanted out of that. So then they did the dot-com bubble went, and then they started inflating it with the housing thing. And then they do the 08 deal, and they're doing it. Look at what we learned. And nobody went to jail. You know, and we're going to do it again. Big, giant world bank robbery. And
nobody did go to jail. No, really, out of the New Hampshire Six.
Well, yeah. And talking about printing money, too, like, look at how much government spending is in certain countries. Let me give you the top, 10 here, just to give you a little bit of a context of who we're competing with on how much government spending, you know, versus the GDP. Venezuela's on top. Maldives, Seychelles, Cuba, Iraq, Lebanon. Oh, here comes Canada, United States, United Kingdom, Singapore, and Ghana. You know, like it's we're in very good good company there, up with two hyperinflating countries, you know, Lebanon and Venezuela, and then we got good old Cuba there. So yeah, we're doing good. You know,
okay. Why is still precious metals down so much? Give me that spiel.
Manipulación. Very simple. It's they could just issue paper contracts with, you know, the, because what we're tracking when you hear the gold and silver price, it's the SLV and the GLD, and those are heavily manipulated. There's like, until those break and you get a force majeure, which basically means they would just give you your money back, but not in gold and silver, but in cash or in digital dollars, whatever. You're going to have that continue. And that's what they're trying to do with Bitcoin and other things. They're trying to set up these schemes. So you would look at the price of this paper asset version of the real asset instead of the actual physical assets, and how much physical, gold and silver is there versus, you know, how much limited amounts of paper they could print. So that's why.
Well, I can see all these Bitcoin maximalists. I had Max Kaiser and Tom Vaz on here recently, and they were just going at it. And I'm going, you know, you guys think that you're playing the game with these guys. You're trying to time it. You're going to become filthy, stinking rich because you're playing the game, and you're going to outthink, you know, these guys, or you're in with them or something, you know, because, and I'm going, I don't think it's going to go out the way that you guys think it is, because they're going to manipulate it. It's how do you turn gold and silver into paper? Well, ETFs, yeah. How you do the same thing with crypto.
Or digital units.
ETF,
yeah, or
you know,
yeah,
it's the same thing. So I'm going, yeah. They're going to do it whenever it suits them, not you. They don't give a crap, you know. So this is, we're going to go to some digital currency. And what scared me, and since it happened, is when they did the haircut in Cyprus. Now, of course, they said, oh, it's these Russian oligarchs, and, you know, they need to get a haircut because they need a haircut. They're Russians, you know, whatever. So
no,
they,
you know why? It's because they betted on mortgage-backed security, no credit default swaps. The banks in Cyprus used these, like, derivatives to bet on the failure of or Greece, and then they got bailed out. And then, of course, they didn't fail because of the bailout. So it's a government intervention that created the failure of the Cypriot banks, basically, because they had heavily betted and used their depositors' money to, you know, spend on.
Yeah,
TVs,
but not before they missed a deadline, you know, the options or whatever. And that's how Gerald Celente got his butt cleaned, you know, because, you know, it was MF Global or something, Diamond, or whoever the hell it was.
Yeah, they were on.
Yeah, they're, yeah, okay, Corazon. You know, they go, oh, yeah, we're betting on they're going to bail it out. Well, you better hurry up. And they missed the deadline, and boom, lost all his money. Rehypothecation. You know, and I'm going, what the hell is rehypothecation? What happens is they're able to take these deposits that you put in when you go and I want to buy a future, you know, a paper, I'm going to get a deal. And there's some little thing in there that says they get to take your money and use as collateral for their bet. Then they lost it. 100%. They go, God, we lost your money. We're so sorry. You know, I'm going, what the
hell? Sounds like a South Park skit.
Yeah, there's no savings and there's no savings and loan banks or investment banks separate. You know, like, they're all together. Like, every single bank is using, and especially they got these high deposit accounts that you could, you know, park some money into to get 1% or 2% or whatever. But what people don't understand is those bank accounts are used to bet on derivatives or whatever they do, you know, to make that return. So, like, your money is not safe at all in the banks. And second of all, you know, I if you go and look up careers at the Bank of Canada right now, they have three positions for central bank digital currency. Two of them are architects, and one is a project manager. And they're the only jobs that doesn't have a deadline on them. Interestingly enough, because they don't want to tell people when they actually are going to hire these people, you know, for central bank digital currencies, right?
Okay, so digital currency coming to America, is it all of a sudden going to be new GoldmanSachs.gov purple money, you know, and your universal basic income on your smartphone has to be accessed by, and it'll be linked to your COVID social credit tracing monthly, whatever the hell? I mean, is that common?
Oh, yeah, it definitely is common. That's what they want to push. There's two versions of it, right, that they're talking. Me and Tim have covered all of them. We had a we talked about the Digital Dollar Foundation in the United States, which is basically the banks lobbying for the central bank not go in a central bank digital currency that is just controlled by the Federal Reserve, because then everybody has a reserve account that the Federal Reserve, like the banks have now, basically. But what they want to do is they want to still have the accounting system that we have today, but just in a digital central bank digital currency where banks can print unlimited amounts of money. So, like, that's the two fights, is they want...
Wait. They're going to give, instead of the Federal Reserve, they're going to give individual banks the ability to just create their own money?
Well, that's what they do right now. But, no, what they want to do is they want to keep the same system as they have today.
No. I mean, individual member banks, they just do that. Because it used to be like that in America. They were called, you know, the... until they went to the greenback, which was, you know, under...
Wildcat.
Yeah, well, the greenback was what? You know, Lincoln came in to where there was kind of, you know, the nationalization of the debt of something. But before that, you know, Wells Fargo had their own money. I mean, you know.
You had the Cotton Planters Loan Association, for example, back in the 1860s. You know, it was backed by their property, which was slaves, and it was backed by a pound of cotton. You know, their notes, they actually had back. So they had a whole bunch of these private entities that were issuing in all the states. And then they had a central bank before that again. And then they had another era of private banking again. So, like, that is just a cycle that keeps on going here. You know, we're probably going to head back to that. But before we head to that, I think they're going to try to pull off the central bank digital currency, which is basically, you know, let me read a news article here from Bank of England. And it says...
Whenever you got to go, Tim, you know, just say goodbye. But, you know, we're going to keep going.
Yeah, just interrupt me.
I'll say goodbye, everybody. But in the one of these new recent bills, or I can't remember if it was in the NDAA, but basically there's language in one of these $3.5 trillion bills that they're budget bills where it basically changes the definition of currency to include digital currency being created by the Fed is being issued into like one of these current spending bills right now as we speak right now. So or may have already happened through the NDAA, but anyways, it's coming. It's basically already here.
Did they put a limit? Is it going to be 21 million units or some crap like that? Or are they just like, Bitcoin or is it going to make
it with that? No.
What?
That would defeat the purpose of the government being able to.
It's
going to
be the same crap. Yeah.
Well, then why do they keep going on, you know, Bitcoin? Oh, yeah, it's going to be Bitcoin. It's going to be Bitcoin. It's going to be Bitcoin. Well, it might be, they call it Bitcoin, but it's not going to be limited.
No, they're going to have their own currencies. They don't want Bitcoin because that's like looked at as pesky. You know, they might have Bitcoin as reserves, maybe, who knows? But I don't think they would ever touch it with their... They want their own controllable currencies.
They're going to say it's Bitcoin. It's going to be an ETF, a derivative of whatever a Bitcoin that's going to be there. They're going to... It's just like when they say they want gold on it. It'd be like a very dry martini with a little atomizer of vermouth over it, you know? You know, they say they got some gold in it. It'd be like a gold thin plate atom of something, whatever, and it's not really. You know, they're going to try and give some credibility of it's gold back, Bitcoin back, something back, whatever, which isn't going to mean shit because it's going to be a derivative of whatever the hell they want it to be. This is a worldwide big giant bank robbery. And we're just going to do what? You know, it's going to come down to commodity. You're already seeing generators doubling in price, you know, so I don't know. This is not good, man. This is not good. And then you're going to have, you know, a bunch of pestilence and, you know, nutrition problems and where you can't go. And they, them, those don't give a crap because they're on their island in Fiji anyway.
Yeah. And like what's going to happen, though, is that like what I hope that will happen is what happened in Ecuador and in Senegal, where they actually the currencies failed. The digital currencies that they try, the central bank digital currencies. Like it was the Western African Economic and Monetary Union that tried it in Senegal. But that
see you guys. It was nice hanging with both of you.
Right, be that talk to you later, Tim. Right, thanks, man.
Yeah, and in Ecuador, it failed. Like started in 2014, went to 2018, no adoption. And it just, you know, they just quit the project. Like they stopped the project. So that's what we can educate people on is that you don't have to participate in the system. And if you don't participate, there's no point. Like, they can't use it. It's useless. You know, if they can't collect taxes through it and do all this stuff, if we don't just, like, we use other mediums of exchange. Like, that's how we would get around it. Let me read, you know, what these bozos are thoughts are, you know, at this is from a person at the Bank of England. What's his name? Sir John Cunliffe. And he said here, you know, you could think of smart contracts in which the money would be programmed to be released only if something happened.
Ernest,
you could think of giving your children pocket money, but programming the money so that it would, it couldn't be used for sweets. There is a whole range of things that money could do, programmable money, which we cannot do with current day technology. So you can clearly see what this is going. Like, it's going into the social credit score system where they're going to limit you to, you know, and, you know, you have the new, Tim just briefly mentioned it, the new Deconomy.com. You guys could look it up. It's your climate action in your pocket by MasterCard. You know, where you have your credit card that will limit you from buying anymore when you use up your carbon quota. So this is stuff that's coming if you let these central banks.
No, it's not coming. It's here. I mean, they're not going to be denied this. You know, they're going to do it. You know, it's what are we going to do in alternately? I mean, what's your option? It's just like with your family. They're, you know, we're going to go to a party and not have party pooper John, you know, come and give us crap because, you know, he won't do it. And but we're living normal, regular, because, and then they get to the front and they go, oh, I'm sorry, do you have your 15th jab? You know, and you may have got your 14th, not your 15th, and your social credit score is down enough that you got to pay extra for this movie, or you got to sit in the balcony with the whatever and so on. I mean, it's just like, you know, they're trying to make you a lower class or a second class. Say, oh, which reminds me, I just saw Stanford University and a bunch of others. I mean, it kind of shocked me. Stanford, they have black only housing as if that's a good thing. You know, they're going, I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember, you know,
segregation. Yeah.
Yeah, segregation. And I lived in Florida. I remember the big deal of busing, and we need to integrate and everybody come kumbaya and so on. Oh, hell no. It's separate but equal. It's a good thing this time. This week it's different. You know, we're going to have, I'm going, who the hell are these people? You know, I don't see where's the resistance. And when we leave Arizona and all of a sudden it just starts going back into compliance, I'm going, what is it? You know, did I take a special pill, a kid or something? It really is disconcerting. And I'm just wondering what the future looks like. And it looks like John Snyzen's town. That's what it looks like, you know. So, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Is it going to be another election cycle? When is your election cycle? Whenever the hell they feel like having an election?
Oh, they weren't supposed to have it within like 2 years from now, I think, like in 2023. But Trudeau thought that he was very smart. And of course, that he basically bailed out the whole economy. You know, he doled out $241 billion to everybody. So he thought that, you know, we had some more voters. But yeah, it didn't quite happen. But no, it's you know, the political system is failing. Like, when the currency system is starting to fail, you know, it's at the last stages. You will get massive division, because at the end of a monetary system, when you have debt attached to it, you have massive disparity between the haves and have-nots. You know, you have an interest rate apartheid, where, you know, the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gateses, you know, they sit up here paying zero or even negative interest rates while you go and get a credit card to survive, to be able to pay for food, or you go to a payday lender, you know, like 19%, or payday lender would be thousands of percent, you know, on an annual basis. So that's that's what we're seeing. We're just at the end of a debt cycle here, like a massive, gigantic debt cycle. And we're also on a 700-year trend of downward. I have a chart somewhere that somebody posted, somebody on Wall Street that I follow. They posted a 700-year chart of historical interest rates, and it goes down like this. Like, we're at the record low. So basically, we've gotten to a point where now the world is basically doing the same scheme. It's never been done that the world is all indebting itself. And so with that, you have mass corruption, you have mass division, and you just have full chaos. You know, like, look at politics today, like in the US or Canada or even in Norway, they're struggling to, like, there's like eight parties, you know, like I think there's like three parties that were able to form government because, like, in Norway, they need a majority to form a government. You get chaos. Look at Australia. Look at, like, all across the world in different countries. And remember, you know, like, before the whole Wuhan thing, remember what was going on in Hong Kong? And perfectly enough, that all that protest became illegal. All the protesting around the world, we had protests all across the world against, you know, the inequality, basically, that people don't connect the dots to the monetary system, the money losing value. But we had that, and then suddenly COVID comes, wipes out, and makes it totally illegal to protest against you know, what they were doing. And then people were forced to focus on the measures of COVID, and it worked perfectly. You know, like here in Winnipeg too, it's interesting because we got all these restrictions, but it seems like Winnipeg, they fired a couple of Chinese citizens that was working at the Winnipeg Level 4 lab, and they had apparently sent deadly viruses over to Wuhan, by the way. But we can't get anything because we're peasants, and the government is not going to tell us what happened. So I have my ideas. You know, you can make up a little bit of assumptions what could have happened there. That maybe there was some gain-of-function research in Winnipeg, and then they shipped it over to Wuhan. As well, right? Because we have a level 4 infectious disease lab here in Winnipeg as well. And also, there is a massive property now that have been built in our economic zone, zero tax economic zone, like the kind of the sustainable development and the UN, like free tax zone kind of thing. And in that, they built, according to friends of mine that have actually worked at the factory and looked at the permits and so on, they built a storage facility for vaccines that could hold up to 4 billion doses of vaccines. And that's in Winnipeg as well. Then I heard rumors. This is just rumors. I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody had hired a private investigator, a pretty wealthy businessman from the southern parts of Manitoba here, and he had said that it looks like, what's his name, Brian Pallister, which is now quit, and he left, and he lives in Costa Rica, but he might have gotten $35 million to do the lockdowns. So my question is, who? That's what I'm looking at right now, trying to figure out, well, who did that then, if that's the case. So that's just a rumor, but there's so much stuff going on here. You got all these crises, but like it was all covered by COVID, and then you got the massive bailout of everything. You know, that we had, like, the balance sheet of the Fed just doubled, right? And it's because they bought up all these terrible assets. We were in the business cycle, which basically means that too much debt, you know, nobody could pay the interest because there's no more debt available. So we get a collapse, and then the banks get some assets, and they always win, right? So that was going to happen, but then that got covered by COVID-19, right? Like, so they've been able to do that, and then they pushed through so many different socialist, policies, you know, like 10-day sick leave, all this stuff that they implemented during COVID. And this was in a conservative government that are supposedly anti, you know, all these unions and so on. So there was a lot of policies that got pushed through. A lot of criminal activity, you know, like, and Tim was talking about just some Federal Reserve people that, you know, bet on stocks. And then I don't know if did Tim talk about that? But anyways, there's Kaplan and a couple others that have betted it on stocks and made fortunes while they were making the policies, you know, that boost these stocks' values. And then you have people in Congress, you know, betting on stocks, for example, the Moderna stock. is up from $18 to $420. Okay. So somebody made some money there, you know, on these shots. It's a gigantic scam. And like, to me, when I smell, I smell globalists. Like, and you talked about this, right? Like, it's the United Nations. People talk a lot about the World Economic Forum, but to me, the World Economic Forum is just the United Nations corporate body that they use to work with the corporations to implement. Look at how the corporations, just like this, you know, like clockwork, came aboard. And that was through, you know, meeting in Davos and hanging out with Mr. Klaus over there. You know,
He's raising his head at a lot of these different presentations and meetings. I can see what they're doing. They get some, you know, 28 to 32 year old attractive female that will sit up on stage with their good lighting, and then they'll, you know, she'll go, oh yeah, oh, you know, while they're sitting there, you know, pontificating about how the new world order is going to be whatever the hell they're saying it is, it's inevitable, and get on board, and everybody should comply. And I can see what they're doing. It's a psyop. This whole thing, it's a 100%. Fait accompli. It's already done. Might as well get on board. And then they'll get the big giant bank robbery. And then sooner or later, the people will just freaking go ape shit. We're all suffering, and the elite have all the money, and we're, you know, the income disparity and tax the rich and yada, 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 yada. But then you're dead. You know, because there's going to be war and pestilence, and you're not allowed to, and you didn't get enough, you know, shots and kind of stuff.
And you'll get the climate lockdowns. Let me read this article. This is actually under a climate lockdown, governments would limit private vehicle use, ban consumption of red meat, and impose extreme energy saving measures, while fossil fuel companies would have to stop drilling. To avoid such a scenario, we must overhaul our economic structure and do capitalism differently.
Am I allowed to have solar panels? Can I burn up a shitload of electrons if I got it from the sun?
No. They shall not have individual energy or decentralized energy, right? Like, they want to have these gigantic solar farms. Look at Germany, how they're struggling right now, because everybody adopted solar and wind in Germany, and there's nothing to be like give some base energy. You know, so they're having to go back and start to build nuclear plants now in Germany because they're having outages. It's government created problems. Everywhere, you know, these governments are—I don't know. Like, every time they touch anything, they create 100 times more chaos. Like, look at COVID; all the people dying because and losing their jobs and everything because, like, it was COVID. It wasn't us, you know. Like, no, it was the government. You know, the government stole, the government raped, the government killed. You know, the government, right? Like, it's what did you say there last time we talked? The goal is state control. That's what these morons want, and they're not gonna stop. Like, they have their dream of these utopic cities where everything is surveilled. Like, by the way, I was supposed to go to training for a CCTV camera company called Hikvision, which is a Chinese company, and I was denied access because I don't have a vaccine passport.
Whoa!
They only want people that are bought in.
Okay, now wait. Say this again. You're going to go to training of what?
Yeah. Because my regular job, right, that I do on a daily basis is low voltage, and a part of that is alarms and camera systems and so on, right? And so they had a training. The VPs and all the brass comes in, you know, from Hikvision headquarters. They're going to do a big training for us. And then I called them. It's like, can I have access to, like, do I need a vaccine passport? It's like, yes, you need a vaccine passport to be able to attend the training.
So it's like you had to actually physically attend it in a classroom or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So, and because it was at a hotel, they had to have a vaccine passport, right? So, yeah, you're only privileged to know what we're going to talk about. But I know exactly what's coming out. Like, they have in their algorithms that you can use if you want to. I never promote it ever to the customers. I just promote, like, crime prevention by having cameras. But they are doing the Chinese system is doing mask discovery. It could do social distancing cameras. It could count X amount of people into stores, thermal cameras. Like they have a thermal, they have a system that it's, you know, metal detector, but with a thermal camera on top of it. So this is what probably will come if we don't stand up and tell these idiots that.
No. They're going to do what they can do because they can. Of course. You know, this is their whole thing. We have the technology. I saw some video clips of, because we can. You know, we can have all this data that we can get more data. We got data. We can manage people with the data. So we're going to because we can, you know, and I'm OK. If they can, they will as sure as hell want to. You know, I didn't mention this. I meant to talk about it earlier on, but I got really sick, you know, last, you know, for a couple of weeks. It was probably, you know, I didn't have a respiratory thing. You know, I had the zinc and the ivermectin and the colloidal silver and, you know, all the other crap that we take regular. So I never got, you know, sick, you know, or coughing, or had any problems breathing or any of that. But man, was I tired. It was like, you know, where I'm going to take a nap for like ever. And, you know, I did drive, you know, the bus, you know, did, you know, my portion of driving, but if I just sat there, I was fine. But, you know, physical labor, going out and doing anything, like, hell no. You know, I just, you know, wanted to sleep all the time. And that went on for about, it's been like 2 weeks, and probably it went for like a week. And then, you know, I started coming out of it. But it was definitely a loss of energy. That was, you know, and I lost sense of taste and smell for about a few days. But, you know, I don't remember. It's been 10 years since I've been sick. And I don't remember if I lost taste of smell and taste, you know, back then. I kind of remember you didn't taste or want to eat anything when you got the flu anyway. So I don't know if that's really a new thing or not. You know?
I had a friend of mine that got COVID at work, and he actually like lost his smell for quite the time, actually smell and taste. Like I think it's just coming back now, and it's like 4 months ago that he really? Got it. So yeah.
Well, it only lasted for a few days for me, but.
But he never was sick though. Like he never got really sick. Like he just had that, like the loss of smell and stuff. Very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't get really sick, you know, that I remember, but I didn't have a lot of energy. So now am I good? You know, I got, if I got the, whatever the hell it is, do I need a vaccine now? Yes, you must comply. And I go, you know, well, what if I don't need it? I'm good. And they go, nope. Cause that's not
what really I don't want it.
Yeah, that's not even really the point, whether you need it or not, or want it or not.
They're going to make some money. And now, of course, you know, what we've, what is really the best type of income is passive income. And Pfizer, Moderna, and everybody else is creating great passive income now from booster shots every year. And actually, was it the head of Pfizer just came out in a video, I think it was yesterday or the day before, saying that, yeah, well, you will need a booster shot every year from now on.
This is I don't see how this continues. I'm not sure that people they think that they're just going to be left alone if they just do one more, you know, seventh shot. You have like Israel, they're going, yeah, you're fully vaccinated at seven, you know, some BS like that.
They actually took away, I think it was yesterday, they took away from 1 million people that haven't gotten the third booster shots are now unvaccinated. Right? Like their vax pass suddenly, like, oh, no, you got to get that third one. Come on.
I want to continue this. So we'll do another show in a week or two or something, because this is not going well. This is everything that we feared was going to happen, you know, is happening. And the big fear was, is that they're going to have more and more requirements. They're going to have more and more restrictions. It doesn't matter whether you have to wear a mask or you have to get vaccinated or not. They're going to do it at a federal level and try and force it on the states. And then if they can't get compliance from the people in the states, they'll have another election that they'll turn a dial on. You know, they're not going to be denied this. And then sooner or later, it's going to be hyperinflation because they can't not. You know, and food prices are going to start going up. And I always say, this will always, always turn into a food thing. And then this, when the food thing hits, then it's going to be now what? You know,
believe me, I have the same guy, you know, friend at work. He's like, I can't buy proper food anymore for my kids. Like, it's here already. Here in Canada, we have massive inflation. That's like 4.1%. Like, come on, give me a break. You know, like I debunked that a long time ago. Like the housing cost, they say it's 30%, but for half of the population is 70-80% of their salary goes to housing costs. So it's extremely underestimated, the inflation numbers here in Canada. It's probably like 10 to 20 at least, a minimum. And think about that, 10 to 20 in a year. Like, you're losing that, like 20% of purchasing
power. And the
power.
Energy
that
cost is coming.
Up. Yeah, because, like, so what the energy thing is all about? Well, what happened during COVID, all the, actually, there was a peak in 2018, I believe, and it was 1,500 rigs in the United States. Now it's down to 411. So there's a massive shortage on the natural gas. Of course, and that is creating, like, the price is 300% almost up. Right now, three times. And heating costs for a lot of people, I don't have natural gas, so I don't have to worry about it. But most people have here, especially in the city, you know, have natural gas heating. So yeah, you're going to pay a lot more and it coming everywhere. I saw my hydro bill was up about like 15% right now, just like it just happened. So you're seeing it everywhere. And then you got these audacity from these stupid idiot PhDs, or maybe they just like to laugh at us because they think we're stupid, saying that there's inflation is transitory. You believe that the prices in the stores are going to go down? Have they ever gone down? Like, have you ever been to the store where prices have drastically dropped on everything, you know, down? It's like, no, I don't think so. I don't think that'll happen a lot. Right. So you got this happening everywhere. But it's all orchestrated, you know. It's they you know created this massive shock. The lockdowns distorted and destroyed the supply chain and the economy. So like the governments are very aware of what they did. At least the people that are aware. But then you got funny things that are happening in Norway, and in Sweden, where they like are saying that they're going to open up the economy after Norway is 66% fully vaccinated. And here in Canada, it's like, no, 100% needs to get vaccinated. Trudeau is out there saying, like, you know, John and you other scum out there, you need to get vaccinated because you're destroying things for everybody. You bad, bad boy! They like to talk to you like you're a kid, right?
Are people starting to realize that it's affecting their health and their children and so on? I mean, they even care?
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Like, it's the pocketbook. It's their mental health. Like, a lot of people are really.
No, I mean, physically, are they getting sick from the vaccinations? Are people starting to see that?
Well, actually, so my wife's family hasn't seen it. They're all government workers. But then at my work, there's our receptionist. Her best friend was an athlete. She can still not walk. She was told it was not the vaccine that she took. She's double vaccinated. Then there was another person that got Bell's palsy. I heard about blood clots. There were another friend of mine's wife. She was one of the top eye surgeons in Winnipeg. She has actually quit, by the way, because she was forced to take the vaccine. She's not taking it. And she actually was watching kids from their 30s down to their 20s. Coming in with blood clots in their eyes. Okay, so we're seeing it. It's here, but you never hear a pip about it. Like who was it just recently? It was Jason Kenney, the premier, like it'd be the governor, you know, of the state in the U.S., the premier of Alberta. He came out and said that There's not been one person to have died from the vaccine in Alberta. It's like, Yeah, it's like, and then you listen to stories now that we're getting that just recently, one of my friends, like a lot of the people that I work with are not vaccinated. I think it's like 60% that are not vaccinated. But this other guy that's not vaccinated, he had some family members. They both caught COVID again after being double vaxxed, ended up in the ICU. And people are starting to question a little bit. You got people that have gotten the double vax and now they're here to the third one. It's like, no, you know, like people are saying no, which is good. They're waking up because they went away. They played along, you know, like it's like what you're saying when you're there, you know, like, come on guys, let's do it. You're out there motivating people. And then that motivation gets lost because people don't have, you know, the same drive and goals as you in life. You want pure freedom for everybody. And you have that drive, but people just get back to their life and then they forget about things and they get back to, you know, like, okay, do a good watch this.
Well, no, I've seen this happen right? before with the other vaccines to where you, all of a sudden you have, it started in the early 90s when Donna and I going to church with our four young children. And that's when all this heavy vaccination really got going. You know, it went from like, you know, a few to 70 kind of crap. And all of a sudden you're in the nurseries or the preschools. And it used to be you'd have special ed for, you know, a handful of kids. You had the short bus. They had the one little bus and you had some kids that, you know, had some mental disability or physical disability or something like that. And now it's like a whole wing. You know, you go into a large church and you would have, it wasn't like a couple, it was like a whole special thing. And then you'd have people that would die or they had SIDS a lot, sudden infant death syndrome. Oh, we don't know what the hell that is. It was the freaking vaccines. So as time went on, you started to see more and more. And then you got, you know, now they're young adults and they got autism. Or they're, you know, you have entire families that are devastated because they're having to, you know, take care of their child for the rest of their life. They're doing, I mean, I've seen the progression. I'm old enough to have seen this happen. So now with all of this COVID stuff and all of this, you got to get vaccinated and all this, there will be ramifications. There will be disabilities. There will be death. There will be, you know, diverted resources.
There is.
Yeah. Of course. You know, and it's going to be, it'll be 10 years from now. And then who stays after school? Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be, you know, in trouble? Who's going to get nobody? While the big pharma guys and whoever benefited from and they're living large on the island of Suck It, you know, wanting to kill you off anyway. And they got their big giant bank robbery. And then who goes after them? Where's the ramifications? Where's this, you know, okay, I'll be down there in a little bit. You know, where is the repercussions well, for this kind of stuff?
No, Fauci would probably just end up getting dismissed and then
get a medal.
Pension. Yeah. Or get a medal. Yeah. No, and meanwhile, you got like the database like VAERS, you know, just looking around, has 11,521 deaths. What was interesting, they removed 3,000 database just a couple of weeks ago. Suddenly it's just like, oh, it just dropped 3,000. But there, if you look at that, there's a chart. Somebody posted a chart that shows vaccine deaths, you know, from they started to do it in 1990 and up to now. And it's like, you know, you can see it's incrementally going up, but then like a massive spike, you know, from these vaccines that are, you know, oh, we got a little trial. Like people are not aware that they're still in a trial, you know, until late 2022 for, you know, Pfizer and early 2023 for Moderna.
Yeah,
they're still got clinical placebos. Trials.
Yeah, there's placebos. They got, you know, in England, you know, the health minister or whatever of the UK comes out and says, well, if you got the placebo, if you got the where you're
considered
nothing,
vaccinated,
you're considered fully vaccinated. And I'm going, well, if somebody's wanting to get vaccinated, do they feel like they got ripped off or they felt lucky or they got? And then you look into the numbers of deaths that you had is based on you know, not everybody getting vaccinated. What happens when everybody, you know, now we're done with the trial and everybody's got to get it, then it's going to shoot up even more. So this is, this is not sustainable at, as a humanity level. You know, this is not going to go well. It never does. Freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? And this is not freedom. So there is going to be a pushback, you know, at least a lot of times it may not be a majority, it'll be a significant minority, you know, the you brush fires in the minds of men kind of thing. But what'll happen is at the very least, which is what happened with the American Revolution, is that even the people that may not have been supportive of a revolution, at least they understood why people were supportive of a revolution. And when that time comes, when people understand why you're motivated, it's over, because they're going to be, I may would rather not have a revolution, but at least I understand why they're doing it. And I'm not going to, you know, run and jump and be in front of the line of government while they're shooting.
Yeah, but I'm going to at least, like, you have the backup of the population kind of in the background. You know, you got them with you, but they don't want to say it. You know, nobody wants to be the person on the front lines, you know, getting shot at or getting a tax dog sent at you, as happening at protests in Australia. Like, Australia turned into prison line.
You know, I just had Max Egan on a couple of days ago, and he's got a little secret, you know, we'll talk about later, but I'm, you know, he's like, damn, he's afraid they're coming after him. You know, this is going to be, you know, why wouldn't they? I mean, you know.
Oh, look at what they did with YouTube. Like, they're coming after, I think if it was up to them, they would like to just round us all up in a gulag. There was an article not too long ago in the Toronto Star here that was talking about rounding up our stupid, you know, unvaccinated and put them in a camp. And that was taken down. You know, it disappeared suddenly. I couldn't find it again. But it was a deranged professor. You know, and that's the views that they have.
They have camps in Australia. They are putting in camps. And I thought they had already started building them in Canada.
Well, they have, like, for example, there's these COVID, like, little houses that they have everywhere. That
are isolation wasn't Dan Dixon one of them for a while?
Yeah. And then, of course, we got the forced, you know, COVID hotels. So Norway opened up, but they still have COVID hotels for three days that you got to stay in when you come in. And they also accept now the Israeli vaccine passports and let people in from Israel because they got vaccinated. So, like, everybody's rah-rah in the libertarian movement in the U.S. Like, oh, Norway opened up. Woo-hoo! You know, like, we had a big party. A lot of people had fun. I talked to some people over there, but they still have a whole bunch of, like, they got less back of their freedoms. That's the key word, right? Like, the government takes and then gives back a little bit less at a time. So it's like that slow trickling into mental technocracy. And then suddenly you're sitting with a central bank digital currency where you can't say or do nothing, and you'll be controlled, you know, micromanaged. And that's what we're heading towards. If we don't stand up here and talk out and get after these people, like here in Canada, I can't even have a conference. You know, like they have the Red Pill Expos, or you got all your conferences that are happening in the US. We can't even have that here.
Okay? Well, you can't even come here to go to one here. No. You're not allowed to leave.
No, I can. Like, it's I'm in a gulag. You know, like, there's nothing, like, putting that aside.
I live in a totally different, isolated, insulated bubble, you know, from a lot of other people. One, Arizona is not as, you know, freaking batshit crazy as everybody else. and I'm on a bus, you know, so I just go wherever I want to go and do what I want to do, and they can suck it. And if they don't want me to be there with... out of my, I don't go there. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
But we're leaving here in a couple of weeks, Washington State, where we are now, and going to Oklahoma, then Virginia. God knows what's going to happen in Virginia for a family wedding. And then we'll be heading down to Florida. Well, Florida probably won't be too much a problem. And then to Texas, and Texas probably won't be too much of a problem. And then back to Arizona. So I'm kind of isolated and insulated. And the only thing I got to worry about is Virginia. You know, I go to Virginia, I'm going to, you know, going to a family wedding and they're going to not, I'm sitting in the car because I'm not going in with a mask. It ain't happening, you know.
Oh, so, yeah, the same shit here. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just, no. They go, well, you're just being, yeah, I am. Yes, I fucking am. I am not supporting this bullshit. Can you imagine having a wedding with masks? You mean kiss the bride?
Oh, you see that. You see that. You know, like there's actually pictures of people with masks on and they're socially distancing. Like the bride and groom, it's like it's the biggest day of your life. You're supposed to celebrate love.
And you know what they did? Like, there was a restaurant here. Our friends were telling us they were at the restaurant. They had a restaurant. They did this. They get down. They put their mask on. Then they stood up and passionately kissed in front of everybody, both wearing masks. I'm going, what the hell was that about? You know, that's virtue signaling big time, man.
Almost just like mental illness, though.
Mental illness. Freaking stupid. Or maybe they were, you know, wanting to show stupidity of it or something. I have no idea. It's just dumb. And then, I got to tell one other thing. All right. Yeah. Daniel Craig's 007 movie's finally coming out. And, you know, I've been waiting for that for the past year. I'm not going to go watch it. If I got to wear a mask, they can suck it. Okay. So I just, whatever movie theater has, I ain't wearing a mask. If I want to, go see that. I was willing to wait, whatever. I'm finally about now. Screw it. I'll just pirate it and, you know, watch it at home. They can suck it. You know, I'm just so sick of this crap. But they had Scarlett Johansson, you know, I'm kind of a fan. I'm going, all right, I like the Avenger movies, but I hate Disney and Marvel. They're just getting all woke and being stupid. Well, they came out with Black Widow, the new movie, and it was, you know, like $29 or something. You couldn't rent it, but it's $29 to buy it online. Oh, screw that. I don't want to see it that bad, right? Well, I was sick, and I'm just kind of, all right, I'll treat myself. I'll watch, and it got down to $19.99. So I go, all right, I'll buy it for $19.99, you know, because usually I just rent them because I don't care. But they're going to be another month or two before it gets down to the $5.99, whatever the hell. So I go, all right, Donna, you want to rent? Yeah, let's get it. It was the stupidest movie. I was so disappointed. I am like done with these. So I got the director cut bonus, whatever the hell, right? Sure as hell, it's some woke, you know, female director that did it and how and the power of the women of what I'm going. I knew this was a stupid ass movie. You know, you guys just keep screwing up everything. I just know I'm so sick of Hollywood. I'm sick of, you know, they've taken anything that I got any kind of pleasure out of over the years and they're screwing it up. So now my whole thing is get some land, they'll solar everything, grow my own food, get some livestock. If they let the world go to shit and, you know, whoever wants to be part of the community of we be community in a small town, a community, and I'm done. You know, I'm done and set up something for my grandkids so that they have a life, you know, because this is not going to go well and it's getting worse and it's not going to get better for a long time. And it's going to be it always turns into a food thing. It's going to be an energy thing and it's going to be a winter thing. And being in, you know, Winnipeg sucks ass compared to I'm in Arizona. So, you know, just you're welcome to escape. You know, see, that's one thing. Imagine that. That you would have to physically escape Canada. Yeah, yeah. Who the hell wants to escape Canada? Well, that's coming, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like this, you know what it reminds me of that we're in that Mission Impossible movie, you know, where they have the Bellerathon, you know, the Chimera.
Chimera,
you
know, right.
Yeah. And then you got the Bellerathon, the antidote. And, you know, it's getting closer and closer to that point where it should be a movie about Gates and Fauci and all these guys, you know, the collusion and everything that's going on. I really hope that it's coming out, but I doubt it unless we can actually like
James Corbett has a scary enough 4-part Who Is Bill Gates documentary series to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is funding members of Moderna to get it with DARPA. Like, come on.
What?
Yeah. Like if you go on, go to Moderna's website, and then you look up, hold on here, let me see if I can find the actual page. Yeah, here we go. So the actual strategic collaborator.
Well, do a screen share. I think I got it set so you can screen share.
Yeah, here we go. Let's see. Here we go. Yeah, so here you can see so it says a strategic collaborator advancing mRNA research to treat diseases and cancer. So here you see the guys that they work together with, Moderna, and it's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, DARPA, Vertex, Merck, AstraZeneca, BARDA.
Fuck, shit.
Yeah, the Karolinska Institute, the university in Sweden, and then Institute de Pasteur, and the Pasteur guy is the one that created the pasteurization
they got DARPA. I feel all kinds of better, we had a story on Freem's Phoenix. It was from Pfizer. They had to pull Chantrix off of the market. Chantrix was a anti-smoking drug of something, right? And you don't want to smoke. Why don't you want to smoke? Because you get cancer. So what did Chantrix do? They had to pull it off the market. It was giving everybody cancer.
Yeah.
this is Pfizer.
And it's all of them. Like, they're all corrupt. And everything in the government now is a revolving door. Me and Tim talk about the financial market. But, guess who sits at Pfizer board right now? It's Gottlieb. We're helping and approving, the vaccine for Pfizer. And then you got another guy went from the, CDC was Gottlieb, right? And then you had an FDA guy that approved the Moderna vaccine is now on the board of Moderna. It's like the same, like, revolving door fascist. Like,
We talked about this before when they were doing the media consolidation and everything. You could see, when they were getting all these large corporations to, be in with the, mandates and all this other stuff. It's because they all share board of directors. You'll have a board of director, a whole board of directors. You'll say you got, a couple of dozen guys on some big corporation or whatever. Well, hell, half of them probably overlap on a whole bunch of these other corporate. They're all an incestuous relationship.
Yeah.
Or
he could do what Trudeau did. He gave $600 million to all the mainstream media. And then he's caught at a press conference. If you want to look this up at one point, he's caught at a press conference, you might wondering why we're not getting talked about so much about what we're doing. It's because I paid $600 to the media. He's actually caught saying, he was caught saying that on open mic at the press, this press dinner or whatever they had. Yeah, just as a joke. That's what a crazy moron.
Oh, these guys, they're messed up in the head. This has to have repercussions. And they believe that they are insulated in some way because of something. I don't know what it is. They believe that they believe
that we're stupid and that they can do whatever they want with us. That's what they believe in.
They got a lot of evidence for it. What evidence do they have that we're not stupid? So it's just, but sooner or later, and then of course it always comes down to this. There's a small group of, they pissed off the wrong guy, or becomes a star chamber of grandpas that go out and start laying waste because they can. There's some millionaire or whatever that writes the paper of funds the whatever, and you get like I don't even want to say some names. But his initials might be something like Patrick Byrne or something. But anyway, you have these guys out there with some resources, and a lot of times it really scares them when they got some 30-year-old that you pissed off and he's crypto rich and worth $100 million that's got can do kind of like the Ross Perot thing did back in when the fall his employees were taken and during their Iran hostage crisis and so on. He's pissed off at CIA director Daddy Bush and said, look, go get our people. He goes, nah, not our problem. Screw you. And that's why he ran against him for president in 92, because Bush pissed him off and it was called Where Eagles Dare or something. And he hired a retired colonel to go and rescue his employees in Iran. You know, so this is like, a big deal, made him all famous and so on. Well, I can see that happening. Sooner or later, you pissed off some dad or grandpa. You destroyed their family. You destroyed their business. You destroyed their generation next that's going to take over the legacy of the blah, blah, blah. And then some families come together and, the only thing that keeps them down, that's why they want the surveillance state to try and prevent that from happening or nip it in the bud before it happens. But it always comes down to a lone wolf. You can't infiltrate a militia of one. And there's going to be the wrong guys that have the skills that you pissed off, that they're trying to use their AI and algorithms. That's going to be some sniper guy coming out of the military of blah, 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 that they're going to try and thwart them, make them take a vaccine, turn to 5G onto their graphene oxide, blood, whatever, and they're done. You know? There's always a Neo. There's always a Neo. Yeah. There's always someone that comes out to resist against this, and it's going to be, it's going to get ugly. I guarantee it, because it always does.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, people are trying constantly to convince me to take the vaccine because most people have. And it's like, no, do your research. Like, and I ask, have you done research? Like, do you know this, and this? I was like, people just look at me like question marks. Like, it's like, oh yeah, you did the government indoctrination research, did you? Yeah. No, it's pretty hilarious. But like, what it comes down to, there's follow the money, right? And what it seems like, it could have come from Winnipeg. This virus been shipped to Wuhan just to hide what they're doing here in Canada, potentially. And then it was released there. And then it's the Bellerathon Chimera thing, right? Like, it's the antidote and the...
Yeah, it's D for Vendetta. Yeah. They create a pandemic so they can be in charge and make a shitload of money. You want to know what this is? Watch V for Vendetta and Wag the Dog and you're done.
I got goosebumps when I watched V for Vendetta just a month or... No, 2 months ago I watched it. It was like,
yeah, scary. Neon flashing, that's how they're doing, isn't it? Yeah, everybody's going to get their Guy Fawkes mask. All right, we got to go. They're waiting for me for breakfast. But I tell you, this has, been a good conversation. I'm glad we've done this. And we need to continue this, but I don't see how things are going to change. This is going to be more continuation of this. And what do we get? A headline today. YouTube just, anything that's anti-vax, boom, you're done. Yeah. This is going to keep getting worse. Right?
Yeah, they have the money to do it. They have an unlimited amount of money that they could just print. Right?
And which is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Which is why, this is going to be a food thing. I don't have enough food anymore. When we went on the trip, we dispersed it out amongst our children. So I don't feel like I got ripped off or anything. At least I fed my kids. Yeah. I mean, I'm good. But we're in up in.
Oh, it's definitely food. It's going to come down to that. I have my guns too, so if need be, I can go out and hunt. But yeah, no, it's like I do have my 6 months right now, but I probably should have a lot more. But we are getting our garden in, like our potatoes now, that we're probably going to have for until the spring comes. So at least we have some, that we could portion out. We always, I always try to convince the wife here that she's going to, have a little bit of storage, because she likes to go to the store every week to get new stuff. It's like, no, have some more,
beans and rice, black-eyed peas and freaking some pork and frozen nothing. Good luck, and we'll go ahead and stay in touch, because this is we got enough information today from you guys that this is progressing.
This is just getting crazy, and with Trudeau too, calling us almost scumbags, and he was asked, like, do you want to say you're sorry to the unvaccinated for saying what you're saying? It's like, no, I the unvaccinated are a scourge, they need to be get vaccinated. So that's where we're at. So he can come and do it personally to me if you want to, and see
do
how
you
well
think
that
they're looking for violent response
much. I think so. I think
they're trying
really
to instigate it. They can
put it in the War Measures Act, like his dad did in Quebec, to stop the separatists in Quebec, Pierre Trudeau. I think he's drooling for that. He's destroyed the currency by doubling the debt of Canada from $1 to $2 trillion, the government debt. Just like his dad doubled the debt for Canada when he was in the, I think it was the late 60s or something. And then now the only thing is missing is the War Measures Act, you know, declaring war in Canada. And he would just love to have something happening. You know, he got thrown rocks at his campaign rally.
Yeah.
But who knows? That could probably have been, you know, agent provocateurs could be known for that too. But he would just love to have something like that, that, yeah, we need to put in the military right now. Let's stop this rebellion, this violent rebellion.
Yeah, and then we have in America, you know, I don't know how Canada sees Biden, but I'm just like, Biden-Harris is so
Let me tell you how they
clownish.
See Biden. When Obama got into power, okay, so I have Trudeau's best buddy infiltrated my party and love to talk, you know, like he spills all the beans on Trudeau. And he's like, oh, yeah, Trudeau, he just used the campaign team that Obama used. So that's how they are. They're hand in hand. Like the liberals and the Democrats, like the liberals here in Canada.
You know, I've seen this before. It's when they pull the people. Yeah, what really awakened me was when Cheney became Baby Bush's VP. When they pulled Cheney off the bench to come out, I'm like, wow, They got a bench that's pretty weak. I mean, you know, who are
and
these?
And then Biden. Like,
yeah,
now.
Biden's it. That's your guy. I'm going, holy shit.
Like, I said back, sorry, we'll have to quit here, but I said that, you know, Hillary will get in, you know, and of course, Kamala is Hillary's girl, right?
Yeah.
So, like, just wait and see. Like, Hillary will get her way. Like, Biden is, like, lost.
Sooner or later, you know, Hillary's not done. She's going to be, I would love to see another Hillary Trump thing. That'd be awesome. You know, people like, oh, Trump's going to say, no, he's not.
That's going to be a civil war.
He was president of the United States of America. And what the hell did he do? You know, I got warp speed and more debt. Are you kidding me? You know, shut up. You know what the best thing Biden did is he got out of Afghanistan. I'm like, you know, two thumbs up for that one, you know. God, holy shit. What are you going to do, yell at him for getting us out of Afghanistan? Which it don't mean shit anyway. You know,
it's an endo-empire thing. Like, it's an endo-currency system and everything. That's what we're seeing right now. That's why the craziness is here in our face.
It was always a financial thing.
Yep.
All right, thanks for coming on, man. I'm glad we had this conversation. especially after I felt better, so it's all good. You know, go ahead and give out your web pages.
Yeah, so you can reach me at theeconomictruth.org, where you can find everything that I'm doing, including buying some of my books if you're interested in that, and all my economic analysis. And then you could go to timandjohnshow.com, where you can find everything that me and Tim does together. And of course, you could join our Discord channel, which has a lot of dissidents right now from all across the world. And we're having a lot of fun. I actually have a practice gulag for people in there. There's a chat room called the Gulag, and we have a lot of fun there.
The practice gulag. God. You know, yeah, get on the list. If you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. All right. Thanks. John Snyzen, The Economic Truth. Peace.
Peace.